Everyone, welcome back to the How to Podcast series. I have another podcaster with me today. I love having podcasters on the show to share their journey because, you know, between you and me, we have enough Dave in our life. It's nice to get someone else here to lighten up the room and shine up the place and make it even better. So Jane Pilger is on the podcast today, and I'm excited to have Jane here. We're going to be talking about her show, her journey as a podcaster, and she's my co-host, and I feel like we're all better because Jane's here. Jane, welcome to have a podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and co-host the show with you today and talk all things podcasting. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where the conversation takes us.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's start off at the beginning. Tell us about your show. How long has it been out there? What's it about? Come on, let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I am the host of the Binge Breakthrough podcast. Basically, it is your source for anything and everything related to binge eating. So I started the Binge Breakthrough podcast in, November of 2022. And basically, binge eating is a journey that I have been on. I struggled with binge eating for over 25 years. I went through pretty much everything that I could to try to stop. I had my first binge the very first semester in college, and I proceeded to spend decades trying to stop. Read all the books. I went through two rounds of intensive outpatient therapy at an eating disorders treatment center. I saw many therapists. I have listened to many podcasts. I have done all kinds of things on my journey. And I always said, if I ever figure this thing out, I want to help more people figure out how to stop binge eating themselves. Because so many people, number one, so many people think that if I've been doing this for a really long time, it's just a life sentence. This is something I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. And there's kind of some resignation. And there are a lot of people and places that kind of teach this is something that you will always have. And I never wanted to believe that for myself. And I don't believe that for really anybody. So I think it's really important to know it doesn't have to be a life sentence, no matter how long it has been, and no matter how many things you've tried. The other reason that I'm so passionate in talking about it, there are so many people in this world, men and women alike, who struggle with binge eating, but because there is a lot of shame about it, not that many people talk about it, and they don't talk openly about it. And so what happens is people who do binge eat and do struggle with binge eating, they think there's something wrong with me. I must be broken that I can't eat in a normal way, or I can't eat the way that other people can. And because other people don't talk about it, they think they're kind of all alone in this, when the truth is so many more people struggle with binging than anybody even realizes. So for me to start the podcast, I was like, I want people to know that there is a really good reason why you binge. And there is hope. There are ways to stop. And there is nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. There's a perfectly good reason why. And once we figure out the why, we can unwind the binge eating no matter how long it's been. So that's really what the Binge Breakthrough podcast is all about.
Amazing. Now, do you know of a lot of other podcasts that kind of cover the same topic to the same degree you do, or is it pretty unique to you, Ethan?
You know, it's interesting. When I very first started listening to podcasts way back in the day, I would say the very first binge eating podcast, I was looking for a podcast on binge eating. I probably started listening back in 2015, and the very first binge eating podcast doesn't even exist anymore. Currently, there are a good number of podcasts around the topic of binge eating and overcoming binge eating, which is amazing. I figure not everyone is going to resonate with everyone else. And the more resources that we can get out there in terms of the topic, in terms of how to overcome it, in terms of really getting the message out there that there are answers and solutions, and this is something that can be overcome, is amazing. So yes, there are other podcasts about it, and I I think it's amazing.
So, okay, so let's park there for a second. Somebody listening to this show goes, I want to create a podcast, but there's so many other podcasts about my topic. Why should I do that? What is the unique thing about your show in comparison to the other ones that you feel you're bringing value by having your show?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer it twofold. One, if somebody else is thinking, oh, there's so many other podcasts, like what would be different about mine? Why should I do a podcast when there's already XYZ, X number of podcasts about this topic? What I always like to remember is nobody is like you. Nobody has your unique experience, your personal experience, your shared experience, your perspective. And so even if there is another podcast, you never know. I've listened to multiple podcasts on the topic. Some of them really resonate with me and others, they don't. And it may be their approach. It may be the way, who knows, right? We all resonate with different people and different approaches for different reasons. And so it's like your unique perspective, your lived experience cannot be duplicated and can't be shared by anyone. So for me, it's kind of like, what is my unique experience? I think I kind of have a couple of different things that are unique in my perspective. One of the things about my approach is that I focus a lot on safety and trust. And it's kind of like most people think, wait, binge eating, safety and trust, what are we talking about? Shouldn't we be talking about food itself? So many approaches are looking at what do you eat, what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, like really looking at the behavior. I see the behavior as a signal, a symbol. Like the metaphor that I love to use is that binges are like lights on the dashboard. They light up and they tell us something's going on under the hood. So sure, we could talk about the food and what you're eating and when you're eating, but that's just like looking at the lights themselves. We need to get under the hood and say, why are these lights coming on in the first place? If we can really address what's happening under the hood, then we can get the lights to turn off without focusing on the food itself. Because sometimes it's the food, but so often it's other things. And some of those other things really, I find very common things that we address to help turn those lights off are safety and trust. And so it's safety with ourselves, safety. I do a lot of work around the nervous system. And so not only do we create safety with ourselves and safety in our bodies, but we are also creating safety with food. A lot of people don't have a sense of safety with various foods or even food in general for a lot of different reasons. So we want to create that sense of safety. And then also this trust with yourself, trusting yourself that you can be around certain foods, that you can eat certain foods, that you can stop once you've started eating certain foods. Those two components, safety and trust, are not really talked about and addressed in a lot of other approaches. So there's that part is unique for me. The other thing that's unique about me is I'm actually I'm a triathlete. And so I love the sport of triathlon. I actually do Ironman and shorter distance triathlons, but I travel and I compete in races. And so I talk about kind of my journey to becoming an athlete. I talk about some of my experiences in training and in racing. And so I kind of bring in that perspective as well. So I think those kind of two things just make my show, make the Binge Breakthrough show, just a little bit different than other shows on the topic.
Wow. Well, there you go. And if you're listening going, I think I can do this. Yeah, Jane and I agree. You can do this. Yeah. This is something that all of us can do. And I love the fact that you bring out the uniqueness of who you are.
Yeah.
You're the only you.
Right.
I can't do your show, Jane. I would never be able to do it justice because I'm not Jane. So you have the unique privilege of your own show being yours. And even if it is a crowded environment, again, the uniqueness of who you are and how you see the world can't be duplicated by anybody else.
What makes your show, what would you say makes your show unique? You're certainly not the only show about how to podcast and, you know, encouraging other people out there to get started in the world of podcasting. So what would you say makes your show unique?
I am purposely on a path of no judgment in podcasting, where I have listened to a lot of shows about podcasting. And what I get the sense of is there's a hierarchy of people who have been doing this for a long time, who are very set in their opinions and sometimes aren't as welcoming to new people who do things differently. So again, the reason why it's not just my episode of me sharing what I know and what I don't know, I bring on people like you. They help give us a different perspective and a different insight into podcasting and shine the light on amazing podcasters in the space. So I want as many voices as possible, because if somebody doesn't resonate with me, like, or back to our point, they might resonate with you on the show today and go, I'm with Jane. I'm on Team Jane. No offense, Dave, but Jane is my Jane and I'm going to follow Jane.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, is I bring on people who see the world differently than I do. And I just think that there needs to be a little less judgment in podcasting and a little bit more coaching, where we're really here to help you and we're not here to talk down to you. We're trying to here to build you up. So
yes, I love
that. In a crowded world of podcasting, I think that's my little thing.
That's so great. I love that so much. And it's so much, and literally two things that you said are 100% key in overcoming binge eating. Number one is no judgment. So I talk about there's eight primary reasons why people binge. And the number one is shame and judgment. It's shame and judgment about the behavior. And when we have judgment for ourselves, primarily, it's against ourselves. What we do is, the analogy that I use is, we have the dashboard, right? And we want to get under the hood to see what's going on. Well, shame and judgment are like a 50-pound weight that you put on the hood. We can't even get under the hood if you're judging yourself. And so I love that you see this too in the world of podcasting. It's like, if we can remove the judgment, there's room for all of these different voices to be heard and different perspective. And we can start to see things in a new way, which is what I love to do, is I love to help people see their binge eating in a new way. So it's kind of like you were talking about, right? It's like bringing in a new perspective. You can start to see your behavior from a new perspective in a new way. You get these insights, you get these like, oh, I never thought about that before. That makes sense. Now I start to see things differently. Now I'm no longer just at war with myself and judging myself for the way that I've been eating. Now I can start to actually understand it and then unwind it.
What has been a great moment for you as a podcaster that you weren't really anticipating when you first started your show back on episode 1, 2, and 3, something that's happened currently or recently that you didn't really expect from being a podcaster?
I would say two things. I have heard from several different people from all over the world, which I never really thought about. I mean, I thought, yeah, I'm going to put out my show. I'm going to, talk about this topic. I would love for people to listen. I would love to just, let people know they aren't broken. But I didn't really think that there would be people literally from all over the world listening. So that part is like, wow, the reach, the available reach that is possible through a podcast is incredible. And then the other is, I've had a few people kind of reach out and just been like, I have listened to every episode. And it's like, I mean, it's just amazing. When you're doing one episode at a time, you're kind of recording here and there, even after, I've been recording for over a year, every week for over a year, kind of doing that. And even if I look in my podcast app and I see all the episodes, I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But then to think, like, there are people out there who have listened to every single episode, or people who are looking forward to future episodes. It's like, it's really amazing.
It is. I had a person reach out to me. They found my show, listened to a recent episode, then went back to the beginning, listened to 100 episodes in a row.
Wow.
Which I'm like, wow, that's a lot of Dave.
Yeah.
And then they got on through my website on my calendar, and we sat and did this Zoom call thing. And they said, Dave, I love your show. I love what you're doing. This person's in Warsaw, Poland, by the way. And they're listening to my show in Warsaw. And he said, I want to give you back something. I want to give you something. And I think, well, maybe some advice. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about here. And he's like, what kind of camera are you using right now? And at the time, I had like a $20 a webcam from Amazon. It's all I could afford, right? But I needed one. So he's like, I want to buy you a new camera. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm going to give you $150. And I suggest you try this camera. It's a really nice camera. But I'm going to give you the money to buy a new camera. Because you gave me so much as a listener, I just want to give back.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wow.
You had me at listen to my show. Right? You had me there.
Yeah.
But then when he did that, so Kuba, if you're listening, thank you again. But like, that's the kind of stuff, the interaction I didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
Really. I was hoping to have somebody listen somewhere. But then when you start getting this feedback.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
it's something different when that comes in.
Absolutely. The feedback is amazing. I've heard from a few people who are just, you know, I've tried everything. I've listened to so many different things, and yours is the only one that has really resonated with me, or I have made so much progress just since listening to your podcast. It's like, so amazing.
Is your podcast all solo hosted, interview? What's the format?
Yeah. So for the most part, it's solo hosted. So far, I have had 3 guests on. I had my husband on. He was my first guest. And so we shared really the story of the first time I was married before I even told my husband about my binge eating. I mean, so much shame, so much secrecy. I would drive around, you know, eating in my car. I would stop at gas stations and throw away all the evidence. I would just tell him that I wasn't feeling well and I had all these stomach problems, which is why I wouldn't eat dinner or, you know, various things. And I was terrified to tell him about my binging because I was just sure he wouldn't love me anymore. And I was seeing an eating disorders therapist at the time, and she convinced me to tell my husband. And so, spoiler alert, he was very supportive, and you know, nothing, my deepest fears were not realized. But I had him on the show to kind of share his perspective on his experience and sharing that, not only that conversation, but then kind of where we went over the years in all of the conversations. So we had a really powerful conversation around there. I actually I have a podcast about sharing your secret eating, and eating in secret, hiding your eating behaviors is not, it is a very common thing. And so I created a podcast episode specifically on Binge Breakthrough to talk about sharing your secret eating with your loved ones and kind of like to walk you through the process. Is that something you want to do? Here's questions you can consider. Here's something you can download to kind of work through it all. So I had him on the show. He was my very first guest. And then several months later, I had my best friend on the show, also just kind of talking through her perspective and kind of like what she's seen from me and in my journey over time. Because I don't pretend at all that it was just like, you know, one night I would just voila, you know, I'm recovered. So to be able to kind of share, what does it actually look like? I think was really helpful. And then I had a body image expert on. So, but other than that, so I've had 3 co-guested episodes in, I think I just recorded episode number 72 a couple of days ago. So
great job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what else are you doing to build community for your podcast?
So I just created a community actually on Substack. So I am new to the world of Substack. I'm playing around in Substack. If anybody wants to come join me there, the website, it's janepilger.substack.com. But I created a Substack called The Peaceful Eater. And I've got my podcast is there. But I also, what I love about Substack is that in my podcast episodes, there you can comment. And so you can actually have discussion back and forth with readers and listeners of the podcast inside Substack. So I like that. So that's very new. I just started that, last month. So that's a place where I'm really kind of looking to build a little bit more community with listeners. So up until now, it's really kind of just been more one way other than, you know, reviews or people who email me with some feedback.
Good. Yeah, I've been adding SpeakPipe to my website, which is a voice messaging service.
Okay.
People can leave you a voicemail for free. And with the free plan, I think you get like 90 seconds or something that they can record. And then the paid plan, they can record longer. But you comes to you in an email format.
Oh, nice.
And you can actually respond with a voice message back to them and carry on a conversation, which is quite unique. And then I actually bring the audio into my podcast. So if you left me a message, it'll be like, well, here's Jane's message. Hey, Dave, it's Jane. My podcast is, and this is what I talk about, blah, blah, blah. My question is, and then we can get the kind of interaction back and forth.
I like
that. So you can actually bring your audience into the show.
Amazing. Really, I will check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Speakpipe.com is the website.
Amazing.
The other thing I'm doing is meetups on meetup.com. Uh-huh. So I've been a participant in meetups, but I'm like, I'm going to host my own. So I went to Meetup and I created an account. And every Saturday for the last 2 months, I've been holding meetup meetings. And I have people from around the world. And in 2 months, we have 132 members of the group.
Amazing.
And we get together, talk podcasting, help each other out. Again, it's not all about Dave. It's about the collective wisdom of the group helping each other. We listen to each other's shows. We give feedback. We're there to help each other. And people get stuck. Everybody groups together and helps them through. It's a great experience outside of podcasting, kind of adjacent to my podcast.
Yeah.
Where we get to do this kind of Zoom call thing and see people on the screen and help them in their journey. So
amazing.
Those are
the two that
I'm really trying for.
I love that. Yeah. I've been, the other thing I've been doing is creating workshops. So I'll have virtual events where, you know, people from literally all over the world can come in and I'll do teaching and then some interaction. We also, in those workshops, sometimes, not always, but sometimes we'll do food experiments where if you have a food you're really afraid of or you don't really trust yourself to be around, I guide you through kind of a process of being with that food in a totally new way. So I do some of those. I do some of those as well.
Any challenges in podcasting where you're kind of needing a little bit of help or encouragement? Anything that you're kind of struggling with your show at all?
You know, I think the only thing, this is interesting, and I think this is probably an individual thing, but I'd be curious, you've talked to a lot more podcasters than I have. The only thing that comes up for me, like even when you ask that question, is when I think about like coming up with ideas and episodes and content, I don't have a shortage of ideas, but I feel like I kind of come up with them. I'm generally like 1 or 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Maybe I'll plan maybe 1 month in advance in terms of if I'm trying to kind of come up with a theme. But I wonder, I know some people really advocate plan your content far in advance and know exactly what you're going to do, or, you know, batch record and have all of these things ahead of time. And then other people are kind of like, you know, just as it comes to you or as, you know, things feel relevant, then, you know, record on that. I'd be curious for you what you see. Does it really just depend on the individual? Do you see people kind of going with one strategy more than another, like as it relates to content development and ideas and that type of thing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that a lot of us wrestle with, especially if podcasting isn't our full-time 40-hour a week job, is wrestling with our calendar and our availability.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have 5 to 10 hours a week to work on our podcast complete. Then, yeah, we want to be as organized as possible. It's because we only have that time. So I like to pre-plan as much as I can. But in that, then you can kind of paint yourself into a corner where something else pops up that you want to talk about, but it's not on the list, you know, till later. So what I do in this show is I'm actually releasing 3 episodes a week for the How to Podcast series. I have my co-hosted episode, which we're doing right now. I have what I call my Daily Dave, which are just like 5 to 10 minute episodes and something that just caught my attention. And I want to kind of get it out there and share to help you without having to wait. Those are bonus episodes. They're not numbered. Yeah. They're just extra, right? And then I have my solo episodes that I do as well. So I have some variety to what I do. And it's interesting because I'll have people say, I like your Daily Daves. I don't listen to your single episodes as much.
Oh, great. Interesting. Yeah.
They're finding value in that. So yeah. They're getting variety even right. within what I do.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to do. And then for me, as far as ideas generation is, I'm always just emailing myself in the moment. It's like, oh, big idea, do this. So I just email it to myself. I subject line, I put topic, and I put memberships or community. And I just email myself the link or the thought, and it goes into a folder. And when I come down to my recording time, I pull the folder up. What's speaking to me in the moment? And I focus on that. So that's kind of how I just can communicate with myself.
Yeah, that's great. Do you plan, like, and when you go to record, do you kind of outline what you're going to say? Do you have kind of like your points, or do you just start talking? How do you generally do that?
I like to kind of map out what I want to talk about so that I have a complete thought to my episode, but I don't necessarily read like an audiobook kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do like to kind of summarize everything, write it all out just so I have a clear idea of my path, make it down into points, and then put the points off to the side and tell you about what I just wrote instead of reading to you what I just wrote.
Yeah.
And in that moment, it's more conversational. It's more interactive. You don't feel like you're being spoken to or at.
Yeah.
Just being spoken with. You know, we're kind of doing this together. So that's kind of how I
do
it. I mean, that takes time to do that, though.
Mm-hmm.
As a new podcaster, you're like, Dave, I just want to read. Then just read. Do that. Over time, you're going to see you're not going to need your notes quite as much.
You know, it's interesting even that you say that, because that's kind of how it's developed for me. So when I started, I had much more kind of written out, like I would sit down to kind of write notes, but I kind of really almost wrote out like the entire, it was like, I was really like fleshing out the full idea. And if you looked at my notes, there's bullet points, but really it was practically the transcript just bulleted. Right. And so, but over time, what I've switched more to now is what you're saying is kind of like, okay, I have my topic and then I have my general, you know, my points, and I kind of like, I have the outline. So I have a clear idea of kind of where I'm going overall, but then I do have it. It does end up being more conversational, but it has kind of taken me time to get to where, oh, I actually prefer doing it that way. And I think after you've done more episodes, that the way that I'm doing it now actually is faster than before. But I think I needed that to really like make sure I knew where I was going and what I was going to say and kind of how it was going to flow more so than now.
I think inspiration comes from a variety of sources.
Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of attribute everything I do as kind of like a sweater that collects a lot of lint. You know, the clothes you have, and it's like there's dog hair and cat hair, and what's this fluff? Where'd that come from? Is this piece of clothing that just seems to attract everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how we kind of have to be as content creators. Just let things stick to you as you go through your day, and you're like, that's interesting. I find that. I'm curious about that.
Yes.
These things just stick to you over time, and you're like picking inspiration off of your sweater, like, oh, yeah, yesterday I thought this thought. Yep, tomorrow I thought about this.
Yes.
And you just, that kind of stuff is really interesting to me. So a good example for me then is listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
One example I'm listening to right now is the Mel Robbins podcast.
Uh-huh.
And what I love about Mel Robbins podcast is she talks to the audience. Even if you're here with Mel on the podcast being interviewed by Mel, she then stops talking to you, Jane, and she turns to the audience and goes, did you just hear what Jane said?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was gold. Now she's talking to the listener. Now you're in the audience.
Yeah.
I put you in the audience. Now I'm talking to the listener.
Nice.
And I'm like, what Jane just said there, I want to just, let's just go back and cover that again. That was gold. And I want you to, as we kind of think about how that ties into our episode today, you need to remember that. That's really good. Jane, the next thing I want to ask you about, and she comes back to you.
Wow. Okay.
When you're listening, you're like, Mel's talking to me now.
Right. Yes.
I'm not just sitting in the stands from a distance listening to Dave and Jane talk.
Yes.
Dave just brought me in that moment, and now he's talking to me.
Yes.
So that's such a great tool.
I love that.
I love that.
I love that. I do, when I think about podcasts that I listen to regularly, I do really like the ones where I feel like I have a relationship some sort of relationship with a podcaster, even if they have no idea. You know, if there is something personal there, or some way that I feel like there's a connection. Those are the ones I'm more likely to seek out on a regular basis versus, well, maybe I'll listen to that one, or I'm very selective, you know, kind of based on the topic or if I think I would like it.
Any piece of feedback that you heard about your show that made you go, huh, never even thought of that?
No, I don't think so.
Because I had one just recently for me.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
And it was like, the person said, Dave, I don't even really care much about what you talk about. I just love hearing your voice.
Mm.
I told my wife that. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, apparently. They're like, you could read me the back of the cereal box and I'd listen to your show.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So I'm like, does that mean my content's terrible? Okay. No. It just means that there's an identity, right?
Yeah.
And
yep.
For me, early on in my podcast, I wasn't really a big super fan of my own voice.
Man.
Because it's just what I'm used to and I have my own opinions of myself, right? And you kind of have to work through that as a new podcaster.
Yep.
But to find out that somebody resonates with your voice. And then my wife said to me, that listener is right. Because when we had our firstborn in the hospital, during labor pains and stuff, my wife would listen and zone in on my voice.
Mm.
And I could talk about anything, but that was the place she went to in that time that got her through.
That's
just hearing me talk to her.
Yeah.
She said,
yeah.
So I understand what your listener is saying.
That's so
such a personal connection with
yes.
your audience.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're like, you're in their ears. Even though they're doing something else maybe in the moment, you're in their ears.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like when I listen to your show and I listen to all 72 episodes, I know you that to the point where I could be like, pick your voice out of a lineup and go, that's Jane.
Right.
And know about you. I feel like I could walk up and approach you and go, Jane, I listened to your show. I remember on episode 2 when you talked about this, and episode 35 when you said that. I don't even remember what I said.
Right. Yes.
But
yes.
They have a connection with you that you build in the...
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about podcasting. I just love that connection with the audience.
I have for sure had people say, when you tell your story, I feel like it's my own. Your story is my story. Or when you tell your story, I know that you get it. You understand what it's like. Even if so some people are like, oh my gosh, our story is so similar. And other people are like, even though our story is different, I know that you understand the challenges or what it's like, or, you know, you've been through this or that also. And so there is that kind of personal connection there too.
Okay. So we're going to do this right now, Jane. It's our opportunity to acknowledge the amazing listener that's here right now. They're here because of you or whatever. They've clicked play on this episode and they're here for a reason. Jane, from your perspective to the listener, I'm getting out of the way. I'm moving out of the way here. I want you to talk to the listener. They're thinking about starting a show. They feel intimidated by tech. They feel intimidated by their voice. They don't know if anybody's going to listen to their show. Does their story matter? To the listener, Jane, what do you want to say to them to encourage them?
I want to say that if you have an inkling in your heart or in your soul or somewhere in your body that you would like to start a podcast, or that maybe, just maybe, I have something to share, then you do. If there is a spark there or a curiosity, it's there for a reason. And yes, there will be challenges. There will be things to learn. There will be things you don't know. There will be doubts. There will be other shows that may look similar to yours, but they won't be your show. And you will have a journey. You will have a journey from the initial seed of an inkling of a spark, which might have been there for years. The very first spark I had that I wanted to start a podcast was in 2015. And I started my podcast in 2022. So that seed was there for a long time. And I'm glad that I started it when I started it. But generally, when there's a spark there, it's going to stay there. So let that spark mean something. Here's the thing that's so amazing. Now that there are, yes, there are a lot of podcasts out there, but here's what else that means. There's a lot of help out there. There's a lot of support out there. There are a lot of answers out there. You do not have to start a podcast alone, nor would I recommend that you start a podcast alone. There are so many people like Dave and like many other people. If Dave is not your guy, there are so many people who would love to help you grow that seed or that spark into something real. And just know it's going to take time. It's going to be a journey. You may take a while to find your voice. You may take a while. I have friends who are like on their fourth or fifth podcast, just trying to figure things out. And that's totally fine. I just know that spark and that seed is there for a reason. There is support out there for you. Your voice matters. Your story matters. Nobody else can share your perspective and your story. Nobody. So if you don't share it, it's not getting shared with the world. And even if one person, I love to just think, if this makes a difference for one person, even if it's a year from now, 2 years from now, it will totally be worth it.
Yeah. I did a little mini series on my podcast, which I like doing these. I'm playing with my show all the time. So I do like a 5 little mini series episodes in a row. And it was called the Appleseed Series. And in the Appleseed Series, it's based around a quote that I read a long time ago that's, again, stuck to me like lint on my shirt.
That's it.
Where the quote was, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed.
And
so as we look at our stats and you look at one listen and go, I failed miserably, Jane. I'm not good at podcasting. I only have one listen. What if that one person who listened to that episode has been struggling with binge eating for years,
then
get some piece of information or insight or something about your episode that changes the course of their life, which makes their life better at home with their partner, for their kids, for their job, for their grandchildren. And that seed, which has innumerable apples within it, changes the whole course of someone's life.
Mm.
Is that not enough reason to release that episode? Come to the microphone and share that story. Even if you only had one listen, if that listen changed somebody's world, is that not worth a podcast?
Yeah. So good. So right. Powerful. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you can't count that number.
Right.
You can see one download, but you can't see the hundreds of people affected by that one download.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
So that's what we need to kind of have that perspective, because whenever I go into Facebook groups, I see, hi, everyone. I have a podcast. I've been doing this for an hour and a half. I have 100,000 downloads and I make $1 million a week in my podcast. And I'm sitting there going, what? How? What?
Right.
And I look at my stats and go, I have 5 downloads. I've made no money. And I'm wondering if it's even worth this. Again, 5 people who heard that episode and maybe they took something that changed their perspective. Right.
And we can never know. I mean, there's sure we do hear from some people and you do. Maybe you get reviews or maybe you have somebody who says something amazing about your content or your voice or something else. But I also think about, I think about myself. How many podcasts have I been tremendously impacted by? And I have been silent. I haven't even shared some of them. I share with other people, but some of them it's my own internal transformation or what I take and how I bring that to my clients. But I haven't told them, I haven't reached out to them or done a review or paid them any money for any services. So it's like, if you think about how much you've been impacted by other podcasts, like you can also be impacting other people in that same way.
So if a fraction of your audience responds to you, when you do have a response, we need to treasure and value that, because that person represents 100 or 200 people behind them that are silently there with you, supporting you, loving what you do, but just maybe have never thought to reach out or for whatever reason. So when you get that one email that comes in from a listener, just in that moment go, this person represents like 100, 200 people. So yeah. I'm going to value this interaction. And if they need help with something, they have a question, they have feedback, this is your opportunity. And as you do that, and again, like you're saying, with a speak pipe, for example, letting people hear their own voice on my show, it's like if they don't understand podcasting, but their voice is on the podcast, you better believe they're going to share that with their community.
Yeah.
I was on Jane's podcast. She played my voice. I asked a question. She acknowledged me and answered my question on her show. I'm sharing this with my world because I'm on a podcast.
That is so cool. Right. I will tell you, I mean, I'm taking a lot away from our conversation, but that is one I am absolutely going to, I'm absolutely going to implement because I can see so much value in such a compound effect type of way with that strategy.
You could do like a question of the month and promote it out to your community, ask them to give you audio messages back with their answer to this question, and then do a whole episode around them.
Yep.
So what I do for my show, just as an example, as we're closing off, is I ask people to leave me a voice message and tell me about their podcast. And what I do is I take that message, I create a bonus episode for that person. So they call in, they're like, hi, this is Dave. I'm the host of the How to Podcast series. And what I do is I take their message, I make an episode with the message in the podcast, I introduce them, I bring their trailer in from their show, and then I send the whole Out of Podcast family to them and say, let's go support this new podcaster and give them the ratings, the reviews, the love, do everything. Listen to their episodes and let's go support this person. All of us. Come on, all of us together.
That's
you can
so
do this.
Great.
It's a new podcast. And I had a woman in Australia who did that. I did that for her and released the episode, let her know that there was an episode just for her about her show. She left me a SpeakPipe message back, kind of laughing and crying at the same time. Like, who are you? And no one's ever done anything like this for me before. Thank you for doing this for me. Right? That's what it's all about. It's about community.
Yes.
So whatever we can do to encourage that. And once you do that, it's like that rock on top of a hill. You just give it a little push.
Yes.
And as it rolls down the hill, it gets faster and faster and faster. You're going to get more and more community engagement once you just give that rock a little nudge.
So
and ask your audience for the feedback.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Love it.
That's
okay,
great.
Before we go again, Jane, shout out your podcast. Again, how we find you, maybe where we should start listening as a brand new listener to your show. Beginning, middle, end, new, where do we go?
Yeah, again, great question.
Promote.
Yeah, so the Binge Breakthrough podcast, you can find it on any podcast player. You can also find me on my website at janepilger.com. But if you go to the Binge Breakthrough podcast, I would suggest you can start anywhere. I would look through the episodes. If something's like, oh, wow, that sounds fascinating, do that. If you are like, binge eating is something that I struggle with and I really want to learn more about it, I would go back and I would start with episode 2, 3, and 4, really go through the 8 reasons why you binge and the 8 solutions. So there are 8 reasons, primary reasons why, and each reason has a corresponding solution. So those are episodes 2 and 3. And then the next 8 episodes are kind of a deep dive into each of the 8 reasons. So
smart.
That's kind of how I start. Episode 1 is my personal story. And then it went from there. So that's kind of how the first 10 episodes of the podcast go. And then from there, really anything that looks to be of interest to you.
Amazing. Okay, everyone listening, you've heard Jane. Go over there and share her podcast with your friends and family. And if there's someone in your life that you know could definitely benefit from Jane's podcast, make sure they know about it. Okay, we can all do this. We can work together. And for the How to Podcast family, you know what I do here. Everyone, please go and support Jane and her podcast as well. Do those ratings and reviews. They do help other people know about the show. So please do that and support Jane and her podcast. Jane, thank you so much for being on here as a co-host. I would love to have you come back in the future. Keep me in mind. Give us an update in the future about how the podcast is going.
But
the welcome mat's always open. The chair will keep it warm for you.
That Come sounds good. Anytime. I envision a future conversation where you and I talk about how you introduced me to SpeakPipe and how I introduced that into my podcast and what happened with it. So that will be our next conversation.
So send me a link to SpeakPipe when it's set up. I want to be one of your first messages.
Okay? I love it. Will do.
All right.
Yep.
All right, everybody. All the information's in the show notes. Jane, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, thank you for sticking all the way through to the very end. It's bittersweet that the episode is over and that we're done for this episode, but you will come back and I will come back. And, you know, there's you and me and we're one big happy family here at the How to Podcast series, far beyond being just pod pals, which is fine, but I'd much rather do life together as family here. And to that end, a reminder, as we talked earlier in other episodes as well, that we do have a meetup group and you are invited. I would love to have you come. It's free. We do them scattered throughout our calendar, different days, different times, because we have people listening around the world, like Cuba and Warsaw, Poland. Hi, Cuba. It's amazing how we can reach the world with a podcast. So through our meetup group, what we do is we get together. It's free for you. Cost me money, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. We get together, we meet other podcasters, we talk podcasting, and it's a way to get from behind the microphone, sitting by ourselves, recording on our own, and doing community. Podcasters need community. You need to meet other podcasters. And just in a low-key, fun environment, talk podcasting. So my challenge to you in 2024 and beyond is to get into a meetup group, find other podcasters, introduce yourself, and make new friends. It's just like school all over again, grade 9. Let's meet each other and share the podcast journey. Go to howtopodcast.ca and click on all the information you'll find there around our meetups. And I'd love to have you there. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next episode. Get out there and record your podcast. Take care.